Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sickle and Ifrit.
I'm Sickle.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm Ifrit.
And we're Sickle and Ifrit. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers.
That and we are.
We are jumping right into it.
We're
jumping right into it.
Right into the pits of horror, which is really just the way to describe horror movies. So, I guess first and foremost, the biggest thing that happened in horror in the last week is the trailer for Us coming out and people being able to watch it in its entirety and not just weird fan-made phone captures of it somewhere at some indie film festival that nobody knows the name of.
Yes, that's like in the middle of like a cult Mormon conclave thing in the middle of Utah in a canyon, Devil's Canyon. I don't know, whatever.
Jeez, this is getting for real.
Yeah.
But anyway, it looks pretty cool.
I think it looks amazing. I'm really excited for it. I think, like, I don't want to, like, undersell Get Out or oversell Us from the trailer, but, like, I was more scared by the trailer for Us than I was by the entire movie of Get Out.
Yeah, Us definitely seems more of, like, a traditional mess-you-up-in-the-head horror movie and less of, like, a psychological horror film like Get Out was. Get Out was kind of scary because of the situations that happened in it, and like, kind of like in the same way, like, you don't want to get caught with 700 pounds of cocaine in your car, because that would just be a really bad situation, and you're like, well, this sucks, and I'm really scared that this is going to happen to me someday, but it might never. This one's more like, holy crikeys, like, there's something going on, I'm not comfortable, and this is terrifying.
Yeah, and like the faces of the doppelgangers are just so subtly different. It's like terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way that he's doing it, the way that he's finding a way to deliver these like this really creepy elements, but just subtlety of like their movement is just slightly off, and their look is slightly off, and it makes it so scary.
Yeah, like just the mirror image of the little kid's mask. Because the little kid wears a mask, and then his doppelganger wears a mask, and, like, or she, I'm sorry, I'm not sure if it's a male or female, but
I think it's a he. I think it's a boy. Yep.
Either way, it's like, yeah, I'm really excited. It kind of reminds me a little bit of something else, not to talk about today, but that we talked about recently, or that I've talked about before on the podcast, which is the Dream Door, the Channel Zero Dream Door series, which is kind of like just some weird, like, alternate, like, I don't know what's the right word. Doppelganger is not the right word for what I'm talking about, but it's the right word for Us. But the other parts of your personality that aren't out that could be, and it's scary. Like, if you were the opposite of you, the negative of you, like, what would you be like?
Like the id?
Yeah. Maybe not the id, but if you just, like, separated the good and the bad from yourself, what would it be? Like, the mustache version of you from Alternate Universe.
This thing just popped into my head, just thinking, like, I'm picturing that trailer in my head, and I've discovered this, new thing that you can do, fairly recently. I'm sure other people have heard of it. Ifrit, you may have already heard of it,
you may have possessed somebody. You're building up for something that's, like, gonna just be, like, Googling your iPhone or something like that.
No, it's I thought it was pretty cool. You've probably possessed somebody and made them do this before, and they've been terrified the rest of their lives. But so I've heard that if you look at yourself in the mirror, just stare at yourself in the mirror for a long period of time, like not long, but like I think it's like 5 to 10 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, in like a darkly lit room, that your brain can't fully process your face, so it starts to try to process a different face, and people have had the illusion of anything from seeing like a deceased family member in front of their own face, or like a grotesque Hellraiser monster.
What? Is that real?
Yeah. Yes.
Have you done it?
It supposedly is. I have not done it yet. I'm going to try it, and I will come back and report.
Are you really?
What I find out. What?
Are you really?
Oh yeah, I'm totally gonna do it.
Oh man, seems like it might be the intro to some kind of horror movie.
Yeah, I'll come back and report what I find out. But it was supposedly like this is something that a phenomenon that's like actually got a name. I can't remember what the name was, but it was officially like tested and documented by a European psychologist, and he did a test on 50 people, and all 50 had some sort of distortion. The distortion ranged from like pretty mild to like mild, like as in like, oh yeah, my face kind of started warping, like I couldn't like figure out what my face, like where exactly what was going on in my face, to like I saw the devil incarnate and it like attacked me. Like it just kind of ranged with for all 50 people, but all 50 people experienced some kind of distortion. And I don't know why that popped in my head. It just reminded me of us a little bit with the like distortion of the faces. But anyways, I'm totally gonna try it. The psychologist found like the perfect way to do it, because like there's a way that you can do it where it's not just like a dimly lit room. Like if you set a light, the only light source is like right behind you, and it's a really dim light source. I think he even had the wattage of the light bulb down. So I'll take it all down. I'm gonna figure it out. And I will totally test it, maybe not by the time we do our next podcast, but I will test that out, and I will report back.
Awesome. Speaking of which, the first thing that came up when I Googled that was a no-sleep story, which says, please do not stare into the eyes of your reflection in the mirror. So definitely reading that in a little bit. But the other thing was, speaking of movies that are getting made, that trailers come out, the Russian Sleep Experiments is actually getting a movie soon. And I'm kind of... That movie, I think, is going to be either really, really good or really bad. But regardless, that story is kind of crazy. So if you haven't ever heard... And I'm not going to go too deep into it because I want to move on to our next topic. But if you've never read or experienced the Russian sleep experiments as far as the story, you can go to lots of different places and lots of different like podcasts that do horror audio media have done the Russian sleep experiment. But it's definitely worth looking into. It's a creepy story about these people who have this gas pumped into a room that they're stuck in for an experiment where they just basically, it keeps them awake and doesn't allow them to sleep, but they still get, like, they don't get fatigued. And it's just what happens to the human brain when you don't. Yeah, have you heard of it? Have you seen it before?
I have, okay. Yeah. But I remember what happens at the end. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So I'm definitely excited for that movie, speaking of trailers, as we were.
Two of the craziest, like, pseudo-government conspiracy things have, like, happened in Russia. Like, the Dyatlov Pass thing is also really fun and insane. I'm sorry, I know I'm rabbit-holing
us. What's that?
You haven't heard of Dyatlov Pass? Oh, man.
No, I'll look at it elsewhere. Let's move on to our next topic, because I will look at it, and we can talk. We can have a whole podcast about, no sleep, like urban legend stories, if you want to.
Oh, totally. Like, for our listeners and for you, Ifrit, it's spelled Dyatlov Pass. It's a fun one.
This is real, though, it looks like. Not just a scary
story. It really happened. It's just that all of the evidence and everything, it's impossible to determine anything in our conceived reality what could have caused all of the deaths, and it's really interesting.
Awesome. Okay, so speaking of things that are not conceivable and cannot be comprehended, we both saw Bird Box, a movie we were talking about last time. Bird Box is a film on Netflix that has been, I think it's Netflix original. It is.
Yes.
It's directed by Suzanne Beer, and it's got, you know, Sandra Bullock and a bunch of other people, John Malkovich and a bunch of other actors in it. It's basically a movie that takes place 5 years after an ominous present drives most of the society to suicide. Sandra Bullock and her two kids are trying to reach a safe place. But it kind of goes back and forth like a Memento style, telling you what happened before when everything went down, like the apocalypse started, I'm air quoting, and what her, like, trying to get to this like safe place is like now. I'm going to let you talk about this movie for a little bit, because I feel like I've been jabbing a little. So go for it.
Yeah,
first off, are we going to do spoilers?
I
think we should.
All right, that's fine.
Okay.
I think that Or I will be reviewing this also, as well. But we can dive into it as much as we want. I don't care. But just everybody know they can look for a review pretty soon. My biggest issue with this movie. I don't know.
Well, first of all, did you like it or not like it?
Did I liked it. Did not love it.
Okay. I'm in the same boat.
Okay. My biggest issue with it was that it had a little bit too much. It ended up having too much in common with what is regarded as one of the worst horror movies ever made, which is The Happening.
Cannibal Holocaust? Oh.
The Happening. Like, it's like, instead of killer trees, it's killer wind blowing around dead leaves.
Did you see, like what the monsters were supposed to be, though? Like, did you read that whole article about what they were supposed to be and the guy's drawings and things like that in the movie?
I remember seeing the guy's drawings, and those were awesome.
Yeah. But, yeah, right. I won't go
through that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, I'd like to know. Like, so you're saying that, like, they were initially planning on showing them? Or?
At one point, yeah, but I think they took it out in the end because it just didn't really fit with what the story was doing. I don't know if that's my biggest gripe with the movie, is that they didn't show the monster. I do agree with you saying that, like, it's very Happening-esque. But I definitely dislike The Happening more because of its heavy-handed and stupid religious, like, slap to the faces. And I know that we have different feelings on religion, you know, you being of the Church of Killing and me being of the Church of Not Satan, because I'll get sued for saying that, but, I don't necessarily think that movie was in any way, shape, or form The Happening. I'm talking about The Happening. Any way, shape, or form subtle about what it was trying to say.
You know, you remember way more of that movie than I do. I just remember it sucked.
That's good. Well, yeah, it did suck, but there was a lot of reasons
why. I remember that the acting. I don't even think I paid attention enough to it, because usually I like to pick up on that kind of subtlety in the script and everything, or apparently not so subtle. But I lost so much interest in that movie. I was just like, please, just let this end. I'm gonna go kill myself.
Let me die.
Yes, just let me die.
The movie is the nature. The movie is the trees. The trees directed the movie.
Did you ever think at any point in Bird Box, going back to Bird Box, did you ever think at any point that somebody's greatest fear or sadness or whatever would have a different reaction in a sane person?
That's
like, I understand the insane people.
Everybody
reacted the same way.
That's why I don't like, there's like some, that was a problem I had with it too, is that the trailer.
For anybody who hasn't seen it and wants to know what we're talking about, that everybody kills themselves basically.
Yeah, but
once they experience this thing, they kill themselves.
So yeah, so it's basically like a society suicide. Like, people who encounter blah this thing commit suicide, but not everybody. And we'll talk about that in a second. But that's not how they positioned the movie, which frustrated me a little bit, because they positioned it as a movie that was, it makes you see your greatest fear, and I hate the assumption that. Well, first of all, that's never really, like, driven home in the movie at all. That was just something that seemed to be in the trailer. And it was, like, one person's explanation of what was happening. Like, and I don't agree with it at all. Secondly...
And I hate that, because then it's just like, oh, this guy's random explanation that he's guessing on, now we're just taking that as fact as the rest of the movie. It was kind of just thrown in there.
Yeah, secondly, I don't think that that's how it worked at all. I think it was literally something that was, like, causing people to want to commit suicide. And not necessarily their greatest fear, because of what happened with the insane people, right? So, in this movie, there's, like, mentally unstable people or whatever. There's a certain group of people in society, and they reference them being the ones that you do see being from a psychiatric institution. Do not have opened their eyes, seen the creature, and not committed suicide. They're, like, basically these heralds of this creature who are trying to get the people who are trying to hide from them that would commit suicide out of houses and basically, like, flush them out. But
which was almost kind of like Lovecraftian.
I agree.
The way that they, like, develop these, like, insane, like, cultists from, like, they're so crazy that they're like, yeah. I mean, I did like that part.
Me too. I thought that was a great play, and it was just the part that that they kind of made you feel like when you're watching the trailer that it was your greatest fear, but that's not what it is. And if you can just get over that fact and just kind of follow the movie for what it was, it's actually good, like, as far as, like, the play through the movie. But when you're trying to explain what you were talking about before I started this rant, which was, how would everybody react the same way to seeing their greatest fears? Well, they wouldn't, and that's as simple as that. And that's why that's a bad way to explain what the monsters are doing. Which, again, monsters you don't see, but...
Yeah, and that may be, I mean, that's obviously a huge spoiler, but some people appreciate that spoiler, because some people don't want to sit through It Comes at Night for 2 hours and just to be let down and not see anything that God, actually comes at night.
Jeffing terrible. Okay. I seriously would have thought that movie would have been better if, like, he had actually kidnapped all of them and, like, the sounds and stuff they heard at night were actually, like, the cops and stuff looking for his house. And, like, at the end it was just, like, them having a shootout. And, like, that would have been so much better of a movie. Like,
basically anything would have been better than the drab ending that it was.
Yeah.
That it was just like, hey, humanity's, they can't handle, don't, they can't trust each other. They're just going to kill each other.
Yeah, well, that's actually an interesting segue into some other part of Bird Box I want to talk about, which is, I thought it was really funny, because I don't have any little demon children running around, but, like, the commentary on parenthood, and how, like, Sandra Bullock's character gets involved with her kids, and how she doesn't really want to have them, but she doesn't really want to have any kind of abortion, and so she has it. But then, like, they start calling... She doesn't want to, like, get attached to the kids because she thinks it's for their safety, so she just starts calling them girl and boy. I thought that was freaking hilarious. I couldn't tell if it was a joke at first, because the first time they reference it is, like, way, way towards the end of the movie, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, is she just joking? Like, why is she doing this? And then you realize that she actually hasn't named them, and that's how she's referring to them, which is, like, it's weird and awesome and... Just so many things about it are, like, I think you could go either way.
If you were asking me to, you may disagree with me on this, Seyfried, but if you were asking me to pick between the relationship that John Krasinski has with his deaf daughter in A Quiet Place and Sandra Bullock with her children, I found the dynamic in A Quiet Place a lot more, like, not only relatable, but just, like, impactful to me. It was much more engaging, and I liked the way that they presented it. It was much less like, there's no relationship here, and she struggles with motherhood, like, slapped in your face. It was a lot more subtle. Like, is he actually mad at his daughter? Like, can he get over her being responsible for his son's death? And, like, can she get over it? The guilt for them to be able to develop that relationship again and to love each other. I found that so much more interesting personally than the I'm a stone cold person that didn't want to get pregnant, and then, oh, now I like them because I experienced things with them and we almost died together.
Okay, your sarcasm aside, I definitely don't think that they were trying to accomplish the same goal, so, like, comparing them I think is a bit unfair, because yes, one of them is very heavy handed. And one of them is, like, A Quiet Place is a story about a family trying to survive. A Bird Box is not that. It's weirder and different, and I don't know what it is, but it definitely doesn't feel like... I think we already had this conversation before, right? Which was, like, this movie is just another movie, and I'm doing your stupid voice now. This movie is just another movie that... is about a post-apocalyptic scenario where people have to survive a thing they don't understand truly until they do. And, yeah, it's definitely set there, but I think they're definitely trying to accomplish different things. And, I think The Quiet Place is a different exploration of that dynamic. I cared a lot more about the story in A Quiet Place than I did in Bird Box. But I definitely understand the problem that someone goes through with that, because it's like a... They weren't trying to address the issue of having children and becoming a mother in Quiet Places, I don't think. They were trying to address the issue family, and can family survive through, like, that kind of heartache. Bird Box was more of a commentary in my mind of, like, what happens when a mother, like, there's not a lot of movies that I've seen that have had commentary on what it's like to be a mother when you don't want to be a mother, but you feel like you have to be. Because there's this idea that...
You haven't watched There's Something We Need to Talk About, Kevin. You haven't watched that one.
Yeah, I know I haven't. I don't know what that is. But basically, this one was kind of interesting because a lot of times a lot of people say, well, every time you have a kid, you just immediately are attached to it and you can never let it go. And for people like me that don't have children, it's very hard to understand that concept. But through a movie like this, it's actually kind of helpful because you're seeing these kinds of things develop and you're like, I guess I get it. It doesn't always come right away like people say. It has to be built and you start to understand why you should care and there's reasons to do it. So for like sociopaths like me and you, it's a little bit harder to understand those kind of human emotions of like you have a kid and you're attached to it forever.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you that it's that they're different. They definitely were different movies in the way that they presented themselves, the dynamics of the relationships. I 100% agree with you. I guess I was just saying that like I preferred the delivery of A Quiet Place. I feel like it was more clever, and I think that you nailed the word that I was looking for, or the term, which is heavy-handed. I just didn't like the heavy-handedness of Bird Box at times with the way that they tried to present it. I think a good example would be We Need to Talk About Kevin. That movie is really tough to get through, but it is basically like a 2.5-hour movie about what Sandra Bullock is going through, but it's just this dragging, awful experience of this mother who has this son that she couldn't connect with since he was born, and he basically turns up to be, or like grows up to be like a mass shooter.
And interesting.
But you go through the entire relationship, like this kid like rejecting her from a very young age, and she can't get past it, and it's crazy, but it's disturbing. But it kind of tackles some of that stuff you're talking about.
All right, well, Bird Box overall, I think it's worth watching, especially if you already have Netflix. But I wouldn't get Netflix for this movie.
No, and you're missing the, or now you're excused of the biggest disappointment, which is that you won't see anything. So at least you're going into it knowing that, and so you won't have to be disappointed.
I think I read something that said you don't see it beforehand, luckily. Like, in a weird way, I'm lucky that I read something like that, and so I went into it seeing that way, and actually made me enjoy the movie a little more, because I was able to watch it. As not a monster flick, which is typically how I enter most horror movies, it was a kind of blessed thing, for all intents and purposes. But let's move forward. We have spent the last, like, 8 or so minutes talking about something that's near and dear to our heart, our 2008 top 10 list. But we're not going to talk about the 18? Top 10. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Time's relative. 2018 top 10 list. I saw it's top 10 and I got confused. But we're not going to talk about the top 10. We're going to talk about the things that didn't quite make it. So basically the nearly theirs and the hell knows.
Yep, that sounds right. So I guess maybe we should just list off our nearly theirs and then we'll just kind of like nitpick them.
Yeah, let's do one at a time. So, like, I'll do mine, and we can talk about mine, and then you can do yours, and we can talk about yours. That way we can get a little bit...
Perfect.
Okay. So, my nearly theirs are basically ones I either had to cut from the top 10 to fit other things in, or things that I didn't want to put in my top 10 originally that I thought were something I would suggest to people to watch, but, like, not everybody. So, mine will start with Terrifier, which I thought was going to be in my top 10. And weirdly enough, I had to move it out for something I don't think you're going to agree with when you look at it. But Terrifier we first saw Terrifier in 2017 at Telluride Horror Show, and it officially launched this year. It's a pretty good movie. It's done in the kind of, what do they call that shooting style? The grindhouse.
Grindhouse.
Yeah, grindhouse style. It's pretty gruesome slasher. If you're into that kind of like really gross slasher movies, it's Terrifier is a creepy, great movie. It takes place on Halloween, so it's a good Halloween movie to watch.
That blows my mind, because I thought you loved that.
I do. The reason I love it, though, is the same reason I can never watch it again. It's like I always hesitate watching it, and I'm like, I don't know that I can get through it again. Like, it's just rough. Like, there's a lot of creepy, gross stuff that happens in it, and it's, I haven't actually watched it again since Telluride.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a good one. It's just not one of my ones that I could put in my top 10 since I haven't actually seen it again. Bird Box and A Quiet Place are both in my nearly theirs. Both of them are movies I thought were pretty cool, but nothing to like really write home about. I thought the end of A Quiet Place was it took too long. Like, there's no reason that that end shouldn't have happened 20 minutes earlier in the movie. And Bird Box is just, again, it's a little heavy-handed with the parenting thing, and it just was one of those movies that you watch once and you're good.
It definitely was that.
You're not gonna
It
like a lot
was.
of these on my nearly theirs, so get ready.
No, I'm not. I definitely disagree with A Quiet Place.
I don't think A Quiet Place is a good movie, and I like that John Krasinski's writing movies, but I want him to keep writing them because it's not it's A Quiet Place is no Get Out, if you will. But another one I didn't Get Out came this year, didn't it? Was it last year?
I think that was
Okay,
last
good,
year.
because I didn't put it in my top 10.
Yeah.
The Meg is the one that I said was nearly there. The Meg is absolutely fantastically fun movie, but it's so cheesy that it's hard to put in the top 10. But I definitely suggest watching The Meg at least once if you haven't seen it. And The Meg is the
Yeah.
movie with Jason Statham about the Megalodon, and it's got really good parts in it. It's got really dumb parts in it, so get ready. The Nun is my nearly there. I thought The
Yeah.
Nun was probably like the least hearted of all of them. Like, I wouldn't want to say like, you know, when you go into Conjuring and Conjuring 2, it's like a wholehearted horror film. The Nun, I felt like it was done for money. And I don't really
That's true.
understand how it connects to anything else in the series except for that it has Valak in it.
And it killed the one of the best settings for a horror movie ever. It just wasted it.
Yeah.
Wasted the space. Like,
So another one of mine that I saw this year was Heretics. Heretics, that's one done by the guy who did Howl. It was
yes.
good. I don't think I need to see it again, but it was definitely again. A lot of these are going to be like worth watching once. It was cool. It had some fun stuff in it, but nothing that I wouldn't see elsewhere. Another one that was at the Telluride Horror Fest this year was Detectives. So Detectives was another fun one that I don't ever need to watch again, but it was good. And it was interesting for what it was trying to do, and it was hilarious, so that's always good. Now we're gonna do the two that you probably will hate me for, which is Terrified. Terrified is on my nearly there. I think Terrified was a great movie. I hate subtitles in movies, and I feel like it's a chore to get through them. And but there is some really creepy scenes in that movie, and so that's why it's in my nearly there, because there is some pretty creepy shit that happens in that movie.
I'm gonna have to say that, like, I think I can tell by your list that part of the problem that we're gonna have, and I'm gonna ruin part of your top 10 list, not by mentioning a name, but you were able to work in some shows
Yes.
into your top
There's
10,
three shows in my top 10.
which I agree with doing. I did not do that, but I like that you did that, and I feel like some of these movies where I'm like, ugh, I think that should be there, it's because you did, it's because of the shows, and so I can deal with
I'll tell you after which two I
it.
had to move. There's only two that I had to move out for shows because one of the shows I put in was absolutely in it to begin with. The other one you're not gonna like, and this is the one you're not gonna like the most, is The Endless. And so I really like The Endless, but it's not in my top 10 because I wanted more in the payout and I didn't get it, and that's fine, but that makes it so it's not in my top 10. I'm like, where's the rope? I want more. Like, I need
I
it. I just
didn't.
need a little bit more. I just need a teensy bit more. Like, just a little
I
bit.
know. I know. I did too. I wanted more too. It didn't make my top 10 either. You're going to. I'm not sure you're going to want to be friends with me anymore after my top 10 list comes out.
That's okay. I bet it's all
We'll
the
see.
ones on my top 10. I bet your ones that are nearly there are all my top 10s and vice versa. But,
Pretty much.
do you want to give nopes right now too, or do you want to save that for the end?
What's that?
The nopes, the ones that we didn't like?
The nopes. Yeah, we could save it.
Okay, cool. Go for yours. I think
But
we're gonna. This podcast is gonna run a little long. Sorry, everybody.
yeah. I actually had two Nicolas Cage movies in my nearlies.
Okay.
I had Mom and Dad and Mandy. I think that Nicolas Cage's performance in Mom and Dad is better than the one he does in Mandy. Mandy's the one that gets all the attention, but I thought Mom and Dad was pretty stinking
I
funny.
haven't even heard about it until like a week ago, honestly, which sucks.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it's a pretty good dark comedy, from my
It
perspective.
sounded cool.
And
I
I
just wish I would
remember,
have heard of it before, like a week ago.
yeah, it was, I don't know. Anyways, I thought it was a fun movie. It almost made, I think it actually was on my top 10 initially, and then I kicked it out for something else. I don't remember what it was. And then Mandy was just a little bit too much for me. It's just one of those ones where it's just like you went too funky to where I can't, like, because part of the value I find in movies is rewatch value. And some people aren't like that. Some people love, like, their favorite movie they've only watched once. They don't care, or twice. They don't watch, go back and rewatch movies. I like to rewatch movies. I put a lot of value in that, and Mandy is not rewatchable for me, for the most
No,
part.
I think I agree. I mean, we're in the same boat. A lot of the ones I said in my top nearly theirs were ones I wouldn't watch again, or couldn't watch again, or didn't watch again. So I'm in the same boat. So what else you got?
Insidious: The Last Key. I thought it was great, but it's reaching the point where it's like, okay, I'm getting a little bit of repeat on like what you're doing. Like, I'm getting the hang of this, and so it's like I liked it, but it's not really bringing anything new to the table. So I at this point, any Insidious sequel I will probably watch, enjoy, and then forget about
I'm not gonna lie, I
at this
never
point.
saw Last Key, and I kept meaning to, and I just never did it. And then
It's
now we're
pretty
here.
good.
I don't.
Yeah,
It wasn't because I
but
didn't want to. It was mostly just because I would sit down and go to watch something, and that would always have to pay for Last Key, and I never wanted to do that. So it was
that's
weird.
fair.
But carry on.
That's fair. The last one was Primal Rage, which almost made it. Part of the reason that it did make the list is that I'm just disappointed that the title of that movie is Primal Rage, and I didn't get giant murdering mutated dinosaur monsters,
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't even
in
know
a
why you
movie.
would name a movie like that if you didn't have any references at all to the game.
Right? Well, I guess the monster, it is kind of like a Bigfoot type thing, and the monster does kind of look like one of the gorillas. But it looks kind of baboon-like. But that was actually one of the reasons I really liked it. The practical effects and everything in it is great. Almost everything else about it is garbage. So it was fun to watch, but its quality as a film is just awful. So it didn't really deserve to make a top 10.
So you only have those
My
four?
other no, well, yeah, but the other nearlies I had were movies that the reason that I put them on the list was I didn't get to see them, but they probably would have made it or been close.
Interesting. I did not put a category like that. Last Key would have been on there for me. What do you
Yeah,
got?
the house that Jack built,
Oh
I didn't
yeah,
get to
I
see.
want to see that too.
Wildling, which is about like a werewolf situation, I think. And then The Silence, which sounded like a ripoff of A Quiet Place, but I really liked A Quiet Place, so I was looking forward to seeing something else take a stab at it.
Sure.
So those were the ones I missed. The rest of mine are
Yeah,
the worst of the bunch, which I only have a
I
couple.
only have two as well. Like I was thinking of so I've read a lot of places that this year's kind of been a banner year for horror. Even if you haven't seen a lot of the movies that came out, there's still a lot of good ones. So my two are Slice, because while that movie was kind of interesting, it also was incredibly dumb, and I couldn't get past some of the stupidity. And it just there's some funny lines from it, but if you're gonna take a movie that you want to have funny lines from, I would say go Leprechaun Returns and not Slice. So, and then the one the biggest disappointment of the year for me was Slender Man. I can't even begin to articulate
great
how
point.
much I disliked that movie because of the success of
Great point.
other No Sleep slash Creepypasta stuff that came out this year, mostly Channel Zero. And so it sucks to me to see something like that just get wasted when you could have made such a really cool movie about it. And there's been other better Slenderman movies that came out, and it's like you couldn't even have like referenced those or taken a hint from them, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like the documentaries are scarier than your
Yeah,
movie.
the
It's
movie
just
was really stupid. And so I would
yes.
suggest to never see Slenderman, and if you want to see Slice, it's free on Amazon, so waste your time if you want.
That was a great one to bring up. I didn't have that on here, but it definitely should have been on here.
Slenderman?
Oh yeah. The two that I had, I actually put The Nun on my worst list, but not because it was the most terrible horror movie ever. It's just I put it on the worst list because I think it's the worst James Wan styled horror movie to date.
Yeah.
Which isn't putting it in the worst, it's just the worst of his. And so I was just, it was easy to dismiss it as like, not, this is not going to make the top 10. Like, this is not a nearly for me.
Mm-hmm.
The number one worst horror movie, which you can say it wasn't horror, and after watching it, it definitely wasn't, but The Predator was absolute garbage. It was so bad. And I love Predator. I love the franchise. I wanted to love it so much. I love Shane Black. I think everything that he writes is gold. I'm obsessed with that man. I thought this was going to be great, and I thought it was going to be almost a parody of Predator, and I was okay with that. But it's not. It's like he tried to make the... I don't even know what he was trying to do. I really don't. It turned out like such garbage.
Dude, I bet you I would like that movie if I watched it, and that frustrates me a little bit. Just because, like, I don't know. I just can see myself liking a movie like that, and the reasons you hated it, I would never have thought of unless you said to me. But I want to watch it because, like, I want to see if, like, it's actually... Because I can't see any situation in my head where that movie's worse than Slender Man or Slice. At all.
Oh. Well, no, that's fair. Like, I would rather watch The Predator again than Slender Man.
Okay.
I mean, there's more entertaining qualities to it than that. But it's just still, like the plot.
How about
is
The Nun?
Awful.
Would you rather watch Predators or The Nun again?
The Predator.
Okay. Okay, that sounds more right to me. That sounds more right to me. Like,
yeah, I think it definitely has something to do with the fact that it's gauging expectation to how disappointed I was.
Yeah, this is a purely expectation fail, not like a you wanted something. This is gonna be what Spawn's gonna be like in Hellboy for you.
yes. Well, no, I'm super excited about Hellboy. It's Spawn, that may be the case, but Hellboy I think is going to be great. Yeah, I'm not worried about Hellboy.
Alright, well, that is our didn't quite make it, or you sucked in 2000.
Oh, wait, I had
one more.
I'm sorry. I just have to mention it really quick. Day of the Dead Bloodline was hot garbage. The worst thing about that movie is that they decided that they didn't want their actors to have accents, so they like dubbed over them after the fact, and it's awful.
Well, why would you think that Day of the Dead : any other title than not having a title, that's because it's the original, would be a good movie?
I didn't think it was going to be a good movie, but it was just like it was so bad. It was so beyond bad, and I think part of it was that there were people out there that actually did talk it up. They actually tried to hype that movie. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, well, I'll give it a shot, because it's kind of a reboot of Day of the Dead. It's not really,
a
sequel or anything. So it was, I was like, oh, cool, let's see what they can try to do with some updated graphics and everything, and it was bad.
Okay. Was bad. Well, don't watch that, because why would you? but, yeah. Okay.
I watched the crap, so you don't have to.
Yeah, right. All right, well, we ran a little long. Sorry, everybody, it's about 7 minutes over, but now you know what we... didn't quite make our top 10 list and what you shouldn't see from last year, but keep an ear out for our top 10s. I kind of do want to
be next
do,
week.
Like, yeah, next week we'll talk about our top 10s, and Sickle will probably write an article for his top 10s, but I don't know how to write, so
yeah, kidding. I'll be putting one up next week as well.
But yeah, I'm really excited about next week. We can talk about our top 10s for half an hour, so you can come and listen to us rant about the top 10 favorite movies of the year, top 10 favorite horror things of the year. And it'll be great. And happy new year to everybody that is going to celebrate it. You know, in hell here, it just gets, it's a little more full.
Yep, it does.
Yep. Like, comment, and subscribe.
With all of the over-drinking.
like, comment, and subscribe our stuff if you like it. If you don't like it, then, you know, leave a comment and tell us what we're doing wrong. So we can ignore it. And there you go. thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, see ya.
Bye.